With a Brexit trade deal on goods done, what does the UK's split from the EU mean for financial services come January 1st? From London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Negotiators spent the last several weeks arguing over how goods will be traded come the new year, but agreements on how services will be handled have yet to be finalized. The service sector in general accounts for about 80% of the British economy, and financial services makes up a hefty portion of that. So what happens when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Day? Philip Stafford, a journalist at the Financial Times, has been following all the twists and turns. He told me what to expect over the next few days.
Financial services, one of the biggest industries in the UK, I mean, it delivered £76 billion to the government last year, has rather been left on the side. What the relationship is governed by is a series of unilateral deals. It's a unilateral permit to access certain parts of the market. So come January the 1st, unless there's a little bit of movement in the week between Christmas and New Year, you really can't see much changing. There might be one or two of these permits handed out.
So what does happen on January 1st then? Have financial services companies like banks just managed to find workarounds?
Yeah, they have. What that has really meant is that if you want to serve EU customers, you have to have offices in the EU, you know, staffed by senior people with responsible jobs. What the EU didn't want is something called letterboxing, just a small office, but there's nothing really going on behind the door. So a lot of that has really just been a matter of moving sometimes people, sometimes assets into various places in the EU.
So should we expect to see any disruption to trade come January 1st, or do you think it will all be fairly smooth going?
It's a real yes and no answer. The obvious thing to point out is that, yes, there will be disruption because it will be two separate markets, two legally distinct markets. Certainly, if you want to trade certain bonds in one jurisdiction and another, you know, that will be different. It hasn't been the case up to now for the past 20 years. Having said that, will you wake up on January the 4th to carnage in markets? I highly suspect that isn't going to be the case. It will be quite muted and rather steady in terms of the system's ability to cope. That's not to say that what is actually being traded, you know, in terms of the currency or shares, whether that will be stable might be another issue. But the value of the asset is one thing. The ability of the infrastructure and the banks and the exchanges and all that infrastructure, I think, will cope fairly well.
The FT's Philip Stafford, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is normally the part where we do the numbers, but financial markets here in Europe and in many other parts of the world are closed for the Christmas Day holiday. This time of year, we're used to seeing Santa ringing a big brass bell as people drop spare change in donation buckets. And volunteers setting up hot dinners for those in need. But this year, bells have fallen silent due to lockdowns, and tables of hot meals are packed in boxes to comply with social distancing. The coronavirus pandemic has made dependence on charitable organizations skyrocket. The number of emergency food parcels delivered in the UK by the Trussell Trust charity nearly doubled from a year ago between April and September. Rory Wheel explains how the food bank organization has dealt with the challenging circumstances.
We've seen a really significant increase in need for food banks in the Trussell Trust network throughout 2020. And that started at the very beginning of the crisis back in March. And unfortunately, we've seen that bear out across the following months. It's definitely been challenging, but we've supported food banks to make adjustments and changes, to abide by social distancing, to transition to delivery models. We've had a big increase in donations, which has helped too. And the campaigning work of the likes of Marcus Rashford, a Premier League footballer who launched a big campaign on this issue in the summer, has further propelled public awareness.
Well, while food bank charities have struggled to meet demand, 91% of other charities worldwide told the Charities Aid Foundation they've been negatively affected by the pandemic this year. Ted Hart is the chief executive of the Americas Division. He told me small charities are particularly vulnerable financially, and having a good relationship with supporters is crucial.
Those who are still able to give are very loyal to the charities that they know are making a difference. But it is still very difficult because donors have themselves lost their jobs or have been furloughed and do not have the financial stability to be able to support the charities they care about.
And because of that, your research shows a third of charities you've surveyed told you they will have to close down. Another third say they're not sure how long they'll be able to continue their operations. So what's the solution for them?
Well, for many of them, new sources of funding, they have looked to cut costs. Let's not forget, 25 to a third of charities do believe that right now they will be strong enough to survive. A big concern is that it's smaller communities that don't have a very broad base of charities to rely on that may be hurt most.
Ted Hart, the chief executive of Charities Aid Foundation Americas, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a tough year, but there have been a few bright spots, including this one. 100-year-old veteran Captain Sir Tom Moore raised $42.9 million for Britain's National Health Service charities by walking 100 laps around his garden during the UK's first lockdown. To all of our listeners celebrating today, Merry Christmas from us here in London. Alongside producer Stephen Ryan, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.